You have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, please. Chapter 14. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can share again your word. We thank you, God, that this is a portion of Scripture that has literally changed the lives of countless millions of people and has been the topic of controversy throughout the ages. And so, God, we ask your Holy Spirit to come and to teach us today what Jesus was saying to our spirit, what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today, for the church to arise, not to bury our heads in the sand as what is going on in our world, that we have dominion over the things that are going on in the world. God has given us the authority. Let us use the authority that is given to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning we pray, we pray for those that are suffering in Haiti. Lord, you know that we've been there so many times and we know what that country is going through right now, where almost 1 million people don't have a place to live. The children that are suffering right now, God, and we ask you, Lord, to send your angels in some way. Send the ministering the spirits, God, that you will send there through people, through organizations, whoever can go there with aid to bring clean water and fresh food to those people, God. Whatever it takes, God, have your way. And let us do our part, whatever that might be, to help those people in Haiti. And those people even in our own country, God, that lost their lives, their families are devastated. We pray for them this morning also. So God, just have your way in our lives as we open your word and we study it together to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing your word. So have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
It is the most photographed street in America. It's one of the most famous streets in America. Amazingly, it's only a one-block-long street. Yet tourists from all over the world, they come and they rent a car just to drive down this street. Now, you may not recognize the street by the name, but maybe some of you will recognize a picture of this street. And here it is. It's called Lombar Street in San Francisco. Just take a look at that street. This is Lombar Street in San Francisco. The hill is so steep that it would be too dangerous for most vehicles to travel in both directions. So between 1922 and 1923, this part of Lombar Street was transformed into a switchback with 8 sharp turns, 180-degree turns. You could only drive downhill, and you can only drive east. And it's amazing that the most famous street in our country is a one-way street. It's a one-way street. People love to drive it, and not one person complains that you can only go one way. How about that? Lombar Street. But you know what? There's another street that is just as infamous as it is famous. It's not steep, but it's straight. And unlike Lombar Street, it is the most unpopular one-way street in the world. It's unpopular for 2 reasons. 1, where it leads, and 2, who it's named after. It is claimed that this street is the only one that leads to God. And the name of the street is Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we've been talking about Jesus makes 7 statements beginning with the words, I am. To tell us in his own words, not just who he is, but what he is. He doesn't use names or titles, but metaphors. He has called himself everything from a shepherd to a vine to a door to bread to light. But today, he makes the most controversial statement, not only of all the seven statements, but the most controversial statement of his entire ministry. And you're in John chapter 14. Just before this, Jesus had just finished telling his disciples. Now listen to this. He tells his disciples, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, then I'm going to leave. For 3 years, these disciples had followed him. They followed him 24/7. Everywhere that Jesus went, they went. And now he's told them that where he's about to go, you can't come. Well, wait a minute. You told us you're gonna die, you're going to rise, then you're going to leave. And where you're going, we can't go. Well, we've been hanging with you for 3 years, and now we can't go. So they're all confused. They're frightened. They're scared. And so Jesus begins to comfort them with his words. And he says in 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. The word that Jesus uses for troubled can be translated agitated or disturbed. In effect, Jesus was saying, when things don't go your way and everything appears to be dark, don't let your hearts be troubled. See, Jesus didn't say, don't be troubled. We are all going to have trouble, and there are going to be things that will trouble us. But Jesus is showing them that even though there be things that cause to be trouble, there's even greater cause not to be troubled. And so he goes on to give them the explanation and the reasons why. Look at verses 1 through 4 of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I know that some versions have many rooms. I kind of like the old King James and New King James. I like to have a mansion there waiting, not just a room. Okay, I put in my request already. I don't want a room. I'd like to have a mansion, if that's possible. All right. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Jesus let the disciples know where he's going. Where is he going? He's going to work. He's going to prepare a place for his disciples and his followers when this life is over. And to make sure that they're going to get there safely, he is going to come back and take them there. That's what his promise is. Okay? Now, I know many of you remember the disciple that got the nickname Doubting Thomas. Somebody remember Doubting Thomas? All right. So he comes on the scene again. And here he goes. He says in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And in answer to that question, Jesus gives the most outrageous, politically incorrect, in-your-face statement ever said by him or anyone else. Verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And with that, Thomas replied, what? No, I'm sorry. That's in another version. But I don't have to tell you that that one statement raises more blood pressures, angers more people, and causes more controversy than anything else Jesus ever said. It flies in the face of what the vast majority of people, both in this country and around the world, believe. Just do a Google search for religious beliefs. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find 37,177 religious beliefs around the world. Different beliefs all around the world. And you'll hear from people like, you know, Tommy Tolerance, you know, and Danny Diversity. You've heard of these prophets, you know. They say that every one of these beliefs are equally valid and they all lead to God. They just take different paths. See, that opinion that Jesus is just one way among many, believe it or not, is a very popular concept. It really is. Just listen to the following quotes from people that you may know. John Lennon said this: I believe that what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just that the translations have gone wrong. Wow. Gandhi said, all paths leading to God are equally good. The prophet Homer Simpson, he said, I am going to die. Jesus, Allah, Buddha, I love you all. And of course, the modern day prophetess Oprah Winfrey said, one of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe there is only one way. There are many diverse paths leading to God. Can I give you one piece of advice? Oprah Winfrey is not a prophetess. Okay? So let's just, all of us, just be honest today. Let's be honest, because this is really where it's going to hit home. Because a lot of people squirm when they hear that statement. There are many people who claim to believe that Jesus is one way to God, even a good way to God, and maybe even the best way to God, but not the only way to God. And there are many who believe that. Of all of the countries in the world that practice freedom of religion, we are the most religious-free country in the world. Statistics tell us 2/3 of Americans consider religion to be very important in their lives. But 75% of them believe that many religions can lead to eternal life. Only 18% believe they practice the one true faith. Only 18%. Listen to this. This is the statistic that really shocked me. Nearly 50% of the most strongly committed evangelical Protestants believe that their faith is not the only path to salvation. Nearly 50% of evangelical Protestants. There's a rising cry that to believe there is only one way to God is not only a difficult to accept and deceitful to hold, but it's dangerous to espouse. This is what one American theologian said. And I don't like to give a lot of quotes, but this is setting the tone for what I want to bring today. Listen to this quote by an American theologian. I have come to believe that this exclusiveness tendency of my own faith tradition and other faith traditions is a serious barrier to genuine peacemaking in a world of religious pluralism. For Christianity, the claim that salvation is possible only in Jesus Christ is in the end dismissive of other religious traditions and inherently divisive. And it is. If Christians are able to be instruments of the peace of God, we must develop a new Christian theology of religions that will enable us to see God's revelation in Jesus Christ while at the same time rejecting any claim to exclusivism. So to put it another way, of the 6 billion people on planet Earth, there are more than 100 billion Muslims, 650 million Hindus, 300 million Buddhists, and more than 200 million followers of Chinese folk religions. Only about 25% of the world's population would even claim to be Christians. Most likely the number of real followers of Christ is even much less. So, who is this minority to be telling the majority that they are lost and they are wrong? Who's this minority? Well, here's the good news. It's not us. It's not me. It's not you. It's not we. The one that is making that bold, audacious, dogmatic, exclusive, in-your-face, uncompromising, unbending, unapologetic statement is Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? If he ever made a statement, If he ever made a statement that he had better be able to back up, it's this one. Look at verse 6 again. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So let's make this real simple today. Let's make it real simple. What Jesus said in effect was, you have exactly zero chance of getting to God if you don't go through me. Now, wait. It's not that you have a little chance or you have some chance. He says you have no chance. I read about a teacher who was trying to help her children learn how to spell. And she told the class she wanted them to tell what their father did for a living and spell his occupation and then tell what he could do for the class. So a girl right here named Mary, here Mary, got up and she said, my dad is a baker, B-A-K-E-R. And if he were here, he would give everybody a cookie. I don't know why Mary didn't bring a lot of cookies. Then a boy named Tommy stood up. He said, my dad is a banker, B-A-N-K-E-R. And if he were here, he would give everybody a dollar. The third kid stood up, and his name was Jimmy. He said, my dad is an obstetrician. He tried several times to spell the word, but he just couldn't do it. Finally, the teacher asked him to sit down and think about it while she called on someone else. So she called on another little kid named Johnny. Of course, it's Johnny. And Johnny says, my dad is a bookie, B-O-O-K-I-E. And if he were here, he would lay you 10 to 1 that Jimmy will never be able to spell obstetrician. I love it. But you know what? If I were a betting man, I would lay you any odds that you want, that neither you nor I nor the Pope nor the President will get to God unless you come through Jesus Christ. You know why? The reason is simple. Jesus tells us that the way to heaven is not a path, it's not a philosophy, it's not a practice, it is a person. And he is that person. You say amen. So the key that I want you to take away, it's in your notes, is this. The only way to God is a one-way street that dead ends at Jesus Christ. Amen. See, there's more to this statement than meets the eye. But if what Jesus said is true, if what he said is true, then there are three conclusions that we have to draw. And it's going to rock a lot of worlds when we draw these three conclusions. Here it is. If what Jesus said is true, number one, we must realize religion is not the way to God. Religion is not the way to God. One of the constant threads throughout religion, every religion in the world, is that religion is the way to God. This is one of two predominant worldviews that dominate the 21st century, thinking about God and how to get to him. Beyond that, this is not just religion that gets you to God, but thinking out there that there are more and more is the thinking is any old religion, any old thing, any old religion will do it, will get you to God. We have people going around making statements that people listen to, unfortunately. I have a quote from Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News, and I listen to him on some issues, but not on this one, but listen to what he says. He said, when you entered Bill O'Reilly, you entered a no-spin zone or whatever, and this violates his own rule when he makes a remark like this. He said, and I quote, I have found that any remark I make about religion is likely to make some viewers steaming mad, and the fundamentalists really hate it when I say something like this. The most important thing I could say about religion is that it is a good thing for all of us to have. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. Don't listen to Bill O'Reilly either. that statement is only true if this is true, and that is all religions are basically the same. Are they? Not only is that not true, but is actually, it is an insult to other religions. To say that Nazism and fascism and communism are the same as democracy is an insult to every one of those worldviews. Even worse, that is an insult to Jesus Christ. Because if all that was necessary to get to God is just to practice religion, regardless of what religion it is, then how do you explain that Jesus even bothered to come to earth or to die on the cross to begin with? How do you explain that at all? And with all due respect, Good Friday then becomes Dumb Friday. Why would a loving God allow his son to take the sins of the world and when it wasn't even necessary to do that? But the truth is, it is precisely because Jesus died for the sins of the world and because he was raised from the dead that we know that religion is not the way to God. All right? I heard about a pastor who was trying to reach a man that was unchurched. He was not a religious man in any sense of the word. But the pastor found out that the guy liked boxing. And there was a heavyweight championship fight in town, and the pastor managed to get ringside seats. And he took the man to the fight. Before the fight started, one of the boxers got down and made the sign of the cross. And the man looked at the pastor and he says, "Pastor, what does that mean?" The pastor said, "It doesn't mean a thing if he can't box." Isn't that the truth? It doesn't matter how religious you are. If you're not on a one-way street called Jesus, you are on the wrong street. Amen? All right, we learned something else. If what Jesus said is true, the second thing we learned is we must realize that righteousness is not the way to God. Righteousness is not the way to God. I told you that there are two predominant worldviews in the 21st century of how to get to God. One way is religion. The other way is righteousness. Just being a good person and doing the best you can. Over the years, I've probably literally asked hundreds of people the same question. I've said something like, if you were to stand before God and God say to you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? And the vast majority of responses sound something like this. "Well, I try to keep his commandments. Well, I've always tried to. Well, I have never. I try to live a good life." And I thought about that. And this week I thought about that. That to most people, getting to God is like, it's going to sound crazy, it's like going to Home Depot. And I'm no expert on Home Depot. You know me. Home Depot, I know for a fact, has faulty stud finders. I bought one. I made 172 holes in my daughter's closet. There are no studs in that closet. So forget about Home Depot's stud finders. Nothing. But I've noticed something, and I know you noticed it too, that people who go to Home Depot usually are into this do-it-yourself thing. Almost everyone who is in Home Depot has a project they are trying to do themselves. They don't want to hire somebody on the outside to do certain things around their home. They want to do it themselves. They want to repair it. They want to build it themselves. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly the way a lot of people think you get to God. They think it's a Home Depot deal. They think you have to build your own highway to God. I can do this myself. I can be good enough. I can be nice enough. I can give enough. I can get this thing done without anybody's help. I can make God an offer he can't refuse.
I can build my own highway to God. See, but here's the problem. If you try to build your own highway, if you try to build your road to God, first of all, you're going to be building a toll road. You have to pay your way as long as you go along. And you'll run out of road long before you get to God. Secondly, the road you're building is going in the wrong way. If you try to be good enough for God, you'll wind up not getting closer to God, but further away from God, because you can never be good enough for God. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is that the highway to God is a freeway. It's a freeway, and I mean that literally, okay? It's not only a freeway, it's going the right way. It is not a toll road that you have to pay to get on. It's a freeway, listen, that has already been built. It's already been paid for. It was built by a cross, and it was paid for by the blood of the Lamb that was on that cross. And anybody can get on it at any time that they want to. And every other religion in the world is based on some kind of righteousness. Every other religion in the world is a Home Depot religion. They will tell you that there are certain things you got to do to get into God's favor, whether it's using a prayer wheel or going on a pilgrimage or giving alms to the poor or avoiding eating certain foods or performing a number of good deeds or praying a certain way or going through a cycle of reincarnation. Whatever it is, Jesus didn't say goodness is the way. He didn't say kindness is the way. He didn't say sweetness is the way. He says, I am the way. And that leads us to the last truth. If what Jesus said is true, here it is, number three. We must realize only a relationship will get us to God. Only a relationship. Listen to the last part again of this verse, verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. If that is true, then all roads don't lead to God. The way to God is a one-way street. And if you're on any other street, you are on the wrong street. It also means not everybody is going to wind up in the same place. Let me tell you why. If Jesus was who he said he claimed to be, and he did what he said he did, then this is true. Because between the human race and God stands a barrier. It's called sin. It's called sin. And if we're going to be reconciled with a perfect God, that sin has to be dealt with. And not just to our satisfaction, but also to his satisfaction. Because sin demands a payment. Jesus came specifically to make that payment. He lived a perfect life. He died a sacrificial debt to pay for everything we've ever done wrong in the past, in the present, and even in the future. At the end of the day, you can either pay with your soul or accept the payment of his life. Because sin is going to be paid for. So here it is. If your home is on fire, you better call a firefighter, not a policeman. If you break a leg, you better call a doctor, not a firefighter. If your home is broken into, you better call a policeman, not a doctor. If you're drowning, you better call a lifeguard, not a plumber. If as a sinful human being, you want to come to a righteous, holy God, you had better call the Savior, because he's the only one that can get you there. Amen? One more quote, because when I hear these things, a famous comedian has a late night show, and I don't even want to mention his name. He said this, though I am a committed Christian, I believe everyone has the right to their own religion. You be Hindu, Jewish, or Muslim, I believe that there are infinite paths to accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That comedian should stay with his jokes because that is, he is dead wrong. There is one way to Jesus Christ, and that is through Jesus Christ. Amen? See, that's what makes Jesus different from every other spiritual figure who has ever lived. Jesus didn't say, come to me and I'll show you the way. He says, I am the way. He didn't say, come to me and I'll tell you the truth. He says, I am the truth. He didn't say, come to me and I'll give you life. He says, I am the life. Amen? I want to close. I'd like the worship team to come back now if you can. Because this, I don't want you to miss this. If you don't hear anything else, if you didn't hear anything else in this message, I want you to hear this. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor Sam, I have that relationship with Jesus Christ. I know him. I know him personally. I know him internally, and I know him eternally. If that's you today, then you have a responsibility that goes like this. Listen carefully. To those who are lost, you need to show them the way. To those who are deceived, you need to tell them the truth. I'm going to say that one again. Because there is such deception going all around, not only in the world, it's always in the world, but in the church. To those who are deceived, you who claim to know Jesus Christ, internally and eternally, you need to tell them the truth. And to those who are hopeless, you need to give them the life. Now, it may not be politically correct to say, but it's true nonetheless. If you are lost, Jesus is the way to God. If you are confused, Jesus is the truth. If you are hopeless, Jesus is the life from God. It is a one-way street, and it's the best street ever traveled. If you're here today and you've never taken a walk on that one-way street and you've never met the Savior, let this be the day. Let this be your day that you will say, I got to get on that street. I'm not going to go on Lombard Street. I'm not going to go where the enemy wants me to go and take all these turns. The Bible says, straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. It leads to life. It is a narrow street. I am narrow-minded. When it comes to my salvation, I am very narrow-minded. I know that there is one way and one way only, and that is through the blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross to die for your sins and mine. And all he asks you to do is receive it. That's all he says. Doesn't care how much money you give. Doesn't care how holy you think you are. Doesn't care what church you belong to, as long as you belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. But if you're here today and you've never done that simple thing that will literally change your whole life, and everything will start to become clear in your mind. You really will begin to see things in a light that you've never seen them before. I know you've heard people say that before. I know you've heard people say, I've heard people say things like, oh, you know, you've read the Bible, but when you go to the Holy Land, the Bible will come alive to you. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. But you know what? It was true. Because when you walk where Jesus walked, when you go into the room where Jesus was, when you walk into a tomb where Jesus was, and you read it in his word, something happens to you. Well, when Jesus comes into your heart, and you become a born again, born from above believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, something happens to you on the inside. Amen. It may not happen instantaneously. Sometimes it does. But there's a walk. It's a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash that we walk. But Jesus Christ is calling everyone to himself. He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all you are laboring and heavy laden. I'll give you the rest that you're looking for. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. I've fallen back on that scripture for my own rest and comfort a million times.
Because he loves me, and I know that. And he loves you. If you're here today and you've never taken a step onto that road, that straight street, we'll be here for you at the close of this service. And we'll pray with you. That the Lord Jesus will come into your life, become very personal to you, and your life will change. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, we thank you so much for today. We ask you now, God, that you will take this word and as the scripture said, we'll hide this word in our heart. We'll hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you, as David said. But this word will do a work in us, God, that we will be able to produce fruit in our lives because we know the truth. And the truth has set us free. And if not, the truth is a person. And he has set us free. And so, God, have your way in every one of our hearts today. And have your way, God, in our offering that we take at this time. We worship you with our offering, God. We sing a worship song, a praise song to you.